You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
This has been one of those series that has been so fun because we're discovering something that God gave us called a spiritual gift. You've been challenged to take a spiritual gifts test that the church provided. We have some of those that we actually ran out. We made, I think, 400 copies initially, and all of those were distributed between the first and second service, between the first and second week. This is the third week. We printed more. They're in the atrium and in the lobby. So if you've not yet taken, it's kind of, you say, well, I've taken one before. Take this one because it was made just for this series and for our church specifically. So please take that. And if you took it between last Sunday and this Sunday, I brought back the cards that tell you what you are to the church, a gift. And it kind of explains it. You're welcome to get one of those cards even during the response time in just a few moments. One of the things that's been so exciting about what we're discovering is if you've been paying attention by now, you're kind of seeing what I mean by this is the way you're wired. This particular gift that is your primary gift or towards the top of the list of these seven spiritual gifts as you take the test, you're understanding, yes, that is what motivates me. That gift is what drives me. We've learned that some of us are truth tellers, right? We're calling those the ones who have the gift of prophecy. By the way, this is one of my spiritual gifts. I would be one who speaks the truth for strengthening and encouragement and comfort, who keeps the church grounded in truth. I love truth, and I love to confront people sometimes when I see them not obeying truth. It's actually something I enjoy. I know it may sound crazy to some of you, but I actually love confrontation. Anybody like that? I love it. I'm not afraid of it. It's funny, when we have a staff meeting, sometimes they'll be talking about something that they're concerned about, and I'll say, well, who's going to take care of it? And they're like, not me. I'm like, I would love to do it because it's my gift. I enjoy confronting someone, helping someone to know this is wrong, this is right. Let's go in the right direction. And then there's some that are doers. We have a lot of doers this morning. That's why the nursery's operating and the kids' ministry's operating and the sound, all the sound and media and the live stream and the coffee shop. These are servers. They see a need and they move toward it. They love it. They serve consistently. Some serve every week, some every other week, some on a rotational basis. They don't wait to be asked. These servers, these doers, they just jump in and help. You keep things moving while others sometimes stand still. And it's okay because it drives you. It's how you're wired. There are others that are explainers. These are the teachers. They love truth. They love clarity. They love understanding. They like to take what's complex and make it simple so people can grow and understand. They keep the church thinking right. Others are encouragers. They have the gift of exhorting. They lift people up. They see potential in others. When I walked into the building in the first service this morning, as soon as I walked in, an encourager, someone with that gift, ran up to me and said, Pastor, I tell you, I just want to tell you how much I love you. I can't wait to hear the sermon. I've been thinking about it all week. Pastor, could I pray with you real quick? Sure. They prayed with me. They said, I just want you to know I love you so much. And I thought, praise God. I know what gift they've got. Now, guess what? Not everybody did that. Some people just thought, it's kind of weird to me. That's awkward. Well, I get it. It's not how you're wired. You know, it's not something that you would think to do. And it's okay, because if everybody did it, I wouldn't have time to receive it all or to have time even to get up and preach. Do you see? God has gifted some with that gift. You stir others to love and to good works, and you keep people growing when they feel like giving up. It doesn't mean that all of us should not be encouragers and we shouldn't grow in that. But if it's not something that is primary in your life, more than likely it doesn't really inspire you or motivate you. It's something you need to get better at, yes. Others are resourcers. They have the gift of giving. They see needs and they meet needs. They provide, they give, they invest. They want to make sure that there is supply where there could have been lack. The givers are usually a little bothered when there's a need that hasn't been met, when there's a quota that isn't there. The givers are the ones who look at the budget and say, oh, we didn't give enough this week. I'm gonna give a little bit more. I mean, that's just how they think. That's how they're wired. Then there's those that are organizers. They have the gift of leading. They lead. They like structure. They build systems. They bring direction and momentum. They keep the church moving forward. Some of you are carers. You show mercy. You feel deeply. You sit with people in pain. You rejoice with people in joy. You keep the church loving and relational. Can I stop and say this? We need you. If that's you, you probably recognized you in one of those lists. In fact, when I read the list, it was easy for me to say, yep, that's definitely me. That's how I'm wired. That's what motivates me and drives me. That's the spiritual gift that God put in me. I love the illustrations we've been giving just to have a little fun, right? Remember last week we gave the illustration of the family dinner and dropping the dessert and how the different responses would be because of the different giftings. We looked at a hospital bed, somebody visiting a hospital. And wasn't it interesting to see all the different responses to that? Well, I found one more I want to share with you. If spiritual gifts were dogs, you would not all be the same breed. Are you ready for this? So prophecy, some of you are like terriers, bold, strong, always ready to confront what's wrong. I guess I'm a terrier today, all right? That's my breed. Then some are service, like pointers, loyal, faithful, always serving, always helping. Some are teaching, like hounds, tracking truth, digging deep, following the trail, exhorting. Some of you are like greyhounds. I didn't know this, but greyhounds hunt by sight, vision-driven, and chasing what could be. And then giving. Some are like retrievers, constantly bringing resources to meet the needs. Some have the gift of leading, like a Saint Bernard or a Husky, leading, organizing, pushing forward. Some have the gift of mercy, like a shepherd dog, protective, compassionate, rescuing the hurting. You say, Pastor, really? You mean all of us are different? Yes, all of us are different, but all of us are necessary. And that's the point of the giftings, is we all have a different gift, and all those gifts make up the body of Christ. Now, today what we're going to do, and you'll see the title of the message, we're calling this message, Stir It Up. Use what God put in you. And here's the truth. And the reason why we need to stir it up is because many people in this room right now, you are carrying something inside of you that's been given to you by God and it's never been stirred. You're like the cup of coffee that has the sugar at the bottom. And it's just sitting there waiting to be stirred, waiting to make your coffee exactly like you want it to be. But as long as it's sitting at the bottom of the cup, it doesn't really have effect. It's not activated until you stir the cup. I want you to listen as Paul writes to Timothy. And as he writes to Timothy in this second chapter of Timothy, he's in the context of spiritual gifts. He talks about a grandmother. Don't miss this. He talks about a mother. Hey, what's today? Mother's Day. I want you to see what Paul says to Timothy about moms. But before we do that, if you are a mama, would you stand up? We got a gift we're going to give you right now. All moms all across the building. And while they're standing, everybody's sitting. Let's put our hands together and thank God for these moms. When you get your gift, you can be seated, but stay standing until you get it. Hey, Pete, right here in the front. Yeah, get these moms. All right, isn't that great? Get your gift. It's a nice gift we got for all of the mamas here. We want to give it to you right here in the middle of the service, because in the middle of the message, we're talking about you as a grandmother. Hey, Elijah, you ran out? Okay, good. Well, here's some more. Good, 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 good. All right, we've got a few more. Praise the Lord. I love it. I love it. I've got one in the front row extra if you need it. Is everybody good? Everybody got one? Awesome. Ready to go, ushers. Wasn't that fun? Now, moms, I want you to see something in Scripture. Look at 2 Timothy 1:5 on the screen. I recall, Paul says, this is so cool. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother, Lois. For me, that might be in your grandmother, Miss Yoshida. If I was talking to Mo or Ezekiel or Josiah, I would say this, it first lived in your grandmother Margaret, and then in your mother Carol Ann as well. I am convinced, though, it lives in you also. Moms, there's a very important truth you need to see on Mother's Day. And I didn't put this necessarily in here by accident. This was the exact Sunday that we prepared to use this text, Because before the gift was stirred, the gift was transferred. That's why baby dedication is so important. Faith is not just taught, faith is caught. It's caught by those who are called parents and grandparents. So on this Mother's Day, I want to remind you of something. Your children may not remember every word you say, but they will carry what they see in your life. This is why it's such an example for us to understand that we need to show our kids what it looks like to love God with all our hearts. Moms, your walk with God is not private. It is generational. What lives in you will live on through your children. And this is what God has called all of us to do. And then Paul shifts and says something very powerful in the very next verse. After he recognizes grandmoms and moms and the importance that they have in passing on faith to their children, he says, now I want to remind you of something. Rekindle. Rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, for us to understand this, first of all, we have to recognize what it does not say. It does not say to pray for a gift. Paul didn't say, hey, Timothy, pray that one day you'll have a gift. He didn't say that. He didn't say, wait for the gift. It's coming. One day, it'll come. Just be patient and wait. He didn't say, hope for the gift. Hope that one day maybe you'll be good enough to get a gift. He doesn't say that. He says, rekindle the gift that is already inside you. It's already there. Just stir it up. I like to look at other translations sometimes and see how they say things. I loved the ESV. It said, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Fan it. You ever had to fan a flame to get it going again? It was kind of dying down and you had to fan it so it would spread. KJV says, and I actually really like this one. I kind of took my sermon title from the King James translation because it says literally, stir it up. Stir it up. And then in the NLT, it says, fan into flames. And look at the specificity here. The spiritual gift that God gave you. He's already given it to you. Just fan the flame. The Message Bible, the paraphrase by Eugene Peterson says, and the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed for you, keep that ablaze. Keep it on fire. Don't let that gift die down. Our spiritual gift, clearly, in whatever translation that you read, is supposed to be stirred and fanned and set ablaze. Because a gift that's left, a fire rather, that's left alone, what happens if you don't do anything to the fire? It what? It dies out. It gets cold. It dies down. But when you fan it, when you stir it, that fire comes back alive again. And here is the issue, I believe, today in the church. Even in our church, we don't have a gift problem. We have a stirring problem. We have a gift. We just need to stir the gift. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you. You have been empowered by the Spirit of God. But it won't move until you move. And that's the tension that we're dealing with this morning. So many of us, we want God to move while we stay still. And that's not how it works. Because gifts don't grow through intention. They grow through activation. They don't just grow because you're sitting in church today. Well, I just don't understand why nothing's happening in my life. Why I'm not being used. I go to church. That's just it. You've got to stir your gift. There is a place. There is a calling on your life. So the question this morning is not, do I have a gift, right? All of us have a gift. The question is, am I using my gift? I have one. Am I using it? So quickly this morning, I want to give you three ways to use your gift. Three ways to stir your gift. And here it is. Number one, you got to stir it up. The first thing you've got to do. Number one, and in order this morning, three things. Stir up the gift that you have. And here is the truth we need to understand today. You stir your gift by using it. You stir your gift by using your gift. Again, let's read that verse, 2 Timothy 1:6. Here it is. I remind you, Timothy, I'm going to remind you of something. Rekindle the gift of God that is in you. You don't discover your gift by sitting still. You discover your gift by stepping out. Stepping out. And the Bible confirms this. In a verse we've read multiple times throughout the past 4 weeks, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Just as each one of you has received a gift, everybody in the building has received a gift. Use it. Use it to serve others. Be a good steward. It's like everybody in this building has money. I know you do. You had money to put gas in your car, buy the clothes you're wearing, eat the food you're going to eat, buy the Mother's Day you bought for your mother. You have the money. It's not how much money you have. It's what you do with the money that you have. And it's not that we don't have a spiritual gift. It's what are we doing with the gift we've been giving? Your gift is not just something you have. It's something you steward for others. That's why it doesn't say admire your gift or analyze your gift or wait for your gift. It very specifically says use it. Use it to serve others. Think about that. Think about that. Some people say, I'm just trying to figure it out. I don't think the issue is figuring it out. We've got it figured out. We know we have a gift. The issue is this. Am I delaying what God has already revealed to me? Am I just putting it off? We just need to be honest and say, maybe the problem is I'm putting off what I know I need to do. And so here's the challenge. I want you to think about this. You don't learn to swim by studying water. You learn to swim by getting in the pool. Amen? You got to get in. You don't learn to drive by just reading a manual. You learn to drive by getting behind the steering wheel and driving the car. The same is true spiritually. You don't grow into your gift. You grow through your gift. It's already in you. This is why unused potential does not increase. It diminishes. Use it. Use your potential. God has already given you so much potential. So here's the challenge. Don't miss this. Start where you are. You say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know much about this church. I don't know much about sound or media or the nursery or the coffee shop or I don't know much about security or the different benevolence ministry. I don't know where to start. Well, start somewhere. Look at what Luke chapter 16, verse number 10 says. Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. God doesn't start you big. God starts you faithful. You just start. It's not about how much responsibility you have. It's what are you doing with the little responsibility that you have. Did you know that I didn't start off as a senior pastor? My first job in the ministry was cleaning toilets. That's what I did. That was my job. Minimum wage back then was $3.30 an hour. And that's what I got paid. I worked 20 hours a week for a church and cleaned toilets. I don't know how in the world I ended up here. But I tell you what, cleaning toilets will get you somewhere. It's not about how much you're doing. It's what are you doing with what you know. Start little. If you have the gift of mercy, start with one hurting person. Use your gift in that small moment. Who is that hurting person God's going to put in your life? Yesterday I was getting ready for the service. There was so much to get ready for. You know, you can see that. And I was getting ready for all these things. Saturdays are actually big work days for me because I'm preparing for Sunday. And so I'm getting ready. It's about 5:30. I call my wife. Honey, I'm coming home soon. And I always say, is the food ready? Amen. And she said, it's all cooked up, hon. I said, I'll be home in 30 minutes. I said, I got to stop by the church real quick and check on something. So I come to the church, and lo and behold, here's a man. And it's just interesting how God does this. Perfect timing. I pull up in front of the church, get out to get some things in here ready. And here's a man strolling his little baby in a broken down stroller. It was like just instantaneously that God said, reach in your pocket and give that man a $20 bill and tell him to buy something for that baby. It was a beautiful moment for me. And I illustrate this not to say anything bragging about myself. I really, although it comes across that way, and I apologize. I say that more to say that in that moment, I realized I can help a hurting person. He looked at me and said, how did you know? I said, know what? He said, how did you know that I was just trying to figure out how am I going to get milk for the baby today? Thank you. And I said, thank you, bro. I said, I just happened to walk by when, and the Lord told me to give this to you. And that was really it. I told him I was the pastor of the church, didn't even invite him. I just knew that he needed the 20 more than he needed anything else at that moment. And God did that in that moment. And I was thinking about how many times maybe I missed those moments. Those small moments that God puts in my life. That's what God's looking for. The little small moments. If you have the gift of teaching, start with one conversation. Just one conversation. It's probably going to be with your kids. It's probably going to be when you want to watch the ball game or when you want to go to sleep and they're going to walk in your room and say, Mom, Dad, can we talk? I've got a problem at school. In that moment, stop and give them that time. Start with that conversation. Hey, listen, if you have the gift of serving, start with one need. You say, what kind of needs do y'all have? Has anybody seen trash on the ground today? Pick that up. You don't have, look, there's one right there. I got it. Oh, Juliet dropped it. Okay, I got it. I got you, Juliet. I got you, girl. Hey, it looks like there's another piece right here. I got it. No problem. You say, what's the big deal? You got a janitor for that. Yeah, but it's less work he's got to do because I saw a little teeny piece of trash and I picked it up. I know I'm being silly. I get it. You could look at this as just silly, or you could look at it as, is he telling me something I need to hear? Do I need to start serving by looking for something little to do? Because little is much when God is in it. And God can take something little and see that, honor that, and eventually give you much. Literally cleaning toilets sometimes leads to being a senior pastor. Oh, listen, this is the opportunity God has before us. There are people who intend to serve God but never step in the direction of it. And this is what we see in James chapter 1, verse 22. It says to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Can I tell everyone here this morning, can I congratulate you and tell you something that is going to make you feel really good? Everybody in this building is a hearer. Feeling good? It's great, isn't it? You can say to anybody that asks you today, did you go to church? Yes, and I heard. It's nice. I've been going to church for 20 years. Well, what are you doing? Just hearing. I go to church every Sunday morning and hear a lot. He talks a lot. Lots of information, notes and all. It's crazy. God's a fanatic. What are you doing about it? What do you mean doing? I just go and hear. It's nice entertainment. Tells funny stories. Pulls up his pants. Sticks out his tongue. It's fun. It's great. You ought to do it sometime. Hearing is wonderful. God says you're deceiving yourself unless you're doing what you, unless you're responding to what you hear. Are you with me? And I say that, man, I almost feel mean saying it, but I'm convicted by it. And whenever I'm convicted, I'm hoping somebody else is convicted as well. Scripture is clear. We are not just to be hearers, but to be doers of the word. And if you're not using your gift, you're not just missing out. Someone else is missing out what God put inside of you. There's someone who needs your encouragement. Someone needs your leadership. Someone needs your compassion. And when you hold back, they go without. Because your gift is not about you. It was never just meant for your fulfillment. It was given for impact. Your gift was given for others, to impact others' lives, to help change other people's lives. That's why God gave you your gift. And when you start using what God gave you, that's when the fire starts to burn again. When you use it, it's like, man, I didn't realize how much I enjoyed this. Can I tell you this morning, the fire's burning in my heart. It's burning in my heart. This is probably the 15,000th sermon I've preached. I don't know how many of these I've preached, but I feel like this is my first one. Love it. This is what God's put in us, a gift. And when we use it, it puts it on fire in our hearts. Number two, stir the gift. Secondly, shape the heart. Shape the heart. This is how God wants you to use your gift. I'm going to put a lot on the screen and give you time to fill in the blanks. And I'm going to read this statement really slow. Pay attention. when you start using, or excuse me, before God talks about what you do, he talks about who you are. It's important. You know, I've been guilty before of just trying to get people to do, and not understanding that the first emphasis that God has is not on what you do, but on who you are. Before God is concerned with your gifting, God is concerned with your heart. Because a right gift with a wrong spirit still does damage. You can actually have the right ability with the wrong attitude and hurt people instead of help people. Can I tell you why, how I know that? Because I've done it. I have been guilty of preaching the word with the wrong spirit. I didn't tell you I preached 15,000 sermons all filled with the Spirit of God. I wish I could tell you that. There's been a few. I think I preached with a little anger in my heart, maybe a little bitterness throughout the years. God's taught me so much. Lots of times when I get strong in my messages, have you ever noticed this? If you've been coming here a long time, you'll notice sometimes I'll get strong and then I'll say, I don't want to offend anybody because I'm so afraid of falling back into that preaching that can sometimes come across as angry versus filled with compassion, but passion. Are you with me? And so I know this can be true. My heart has got to be in the right place when I bring forth the gift of prophecy in the church. Because your gift cannot take you where your character cannot sustain you. Your heart is so important in this process. We all have seen people with powerful gifts, but with a poor spirit. They can speak but wound. They lead but they control. People who can serve but they resent. And God is not just developing your gift, he's shaping your heart. That's why it's so important to understand that before God talks about the gift, he wants you to know he's more concerned about your heart. Because the goal is not performance. The goal is Christ-likeness. And spiritual maturity is not just what you do for God, but it's how much you look like him while you're doing it. God wants us to look like him while we're using our gifts. So what does the right heart look like? I'm going to go quickly through these things and ask you just to pay attention to the scriptures and the explanation. They're all in your notes. But I was studying Romans chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. Where we've been taking the seven spiritual gifts from. And then I noticed right after that, he takes about 10 verses to talk about the heart. And so what I want to do for the next 3 to 4 minutes is giving you seven heart postures to apply to every gift, every person, and every ministry. First one is this: pure love. Pure love. Pure love is real love. It's not love for show or recognition. If love isn't real, your gift isn't right. And this is what we hear in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. May our love be real and not hypocritical. Then secondly, there's personal honor. This is when we don't use our gift to elevate ourselves, but we use it to lift others up. Our gift is not a platform for us. It's a platform for others. Remember this truth: honor over ego. We learn this in Romans 12 in the next verse, 10. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. Then thirdly, if our heart is in the right place, it's going to be passionate. We're going to have a passionate spirit. We don't serve cold. We serve on fire. This is passion without burnout, because of a cold heart will always produce a weak ministry. This morning, I want you to see the passion I have for what I'm doing. I didn't come this morning with a cold heart. I came with a heart on fire for the truth of God's word to penetrate our cold hearts. Romans 12:11 says, do not lack diligence and zeal. Be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. And then there's persistent faith. This is when we don't quit, even when it gets hard. You are patient under pressure. You don't walk away when it's inconvenient. You just stay faithful. Isn't that what we see in Romans 12:12? Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Next, we see practical generosity. This is when we don't just talk about love, but we demonstrate love. Love is not proven by what you say, it's proven in what you supply. Givers are lovers. And so Scripture says in Romans 12:13, to share with the saints in their needs. We should pursue hospitality. And then there's peaceful humility. We don't ever want to operate with our gift in pride. You don't compete. You don't compare, because pride poisons what God meant to bless. And we see this in Romans 12:14 and 16. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. And finally, there's personal compassion. Staying connected with people and feel what they feel and walk where they walk. Remember this, ministry is not about fixing people. Ministry is about feeling with people. And Romans 12:15 says to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. And what these seven things are is they keep your gift healthy. If you have a healthy heart, you'll have a healthy gift. But without this, the gifts we have can be misused and can actually abuse people. We can hurt the church by using our gift without the right heart. Because where your heart is, when your heart is right, your gift doesn't just function, your gift flows. And when it flows, lives can be changed. And this is my desire this morning for our church, that our lives would be changed as the gift flows from me this morning, as I use the gift that God's given me. And may our children's lives be changed. May those around us be changed, that our workplaces, because we're using the gift that's in us with the right heart. Number three, and I'll close. Stir the gift, shape the heart, and finally, step out in faith. Are you ready? You know, I've preached for 4 weeks about spiritual gifts. You're probably tired of hearing about it. I'm actually ready to move on to something as well. But can I tell you something? It shouldn't happen without a challenge. It's time to step out. It's time to say enough of sitting in a seat, but I want to start using the gift that God has given me. So why don't we use our gift? I think the real issue is this. I think people get stuck, not because they're not called to do something, but because they're afraid. Fear. Fear. They're afraid of what people might think. Afraid they're not qualified. Afraid they're not good enough. Afraid of stepping out. I have found that fear will keep you sitting in your calling that God designed you to walk in. Fear will keep you sitting. You're called. You got so much potential. You can make such a difference. But fear keeps you sitting. All the while, God has designed you to do something that only He could do through you. Fear always asks the wrong question. Fear asks this question: what if I fail? What if I fail? Preacher, I'm just afraid to do it, because what if I don't do it perfect? What if I don't dot every I and cross every T? I need to know everything before I actually step out. What if I make a mistake? While God asks a different question: what if you don't step out at all? What if you live your entire life with your gift uncovered, unstirred? God has such a great plan for all of us. So in the context of stirring up your gift, Paul writes this in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us one of power, of love, and of sound judgment. And again, I'm a big fan of Eugene Peterson's Message translation. Listen to how he says it. I love it. God doesn't want us to be shy with His gifts. He wants us to be bold, loving, sensible. And so let me remind you of something very powerful this morning. Fear is not from God. God did not give fear to you, which means you don't have to live in it. If God didn't give it to you, you don't have to live in fear. And I love it that Paul tells us God didn't give us the spirit of fear. Here's what God gave us. Number one, He gave us power. Power, which is strength from God to step out. Power doesn't come before you move. Power meets you when you move. This morning, as you step out by faith and say, I'm ready to use my gift in the body of Christ to make a difference for him. God says this to you, step out and I'll meet you there. I'll go with you. I'll empower you to do what I've called you to do. The Spirit of God lives in you. He will empower you to use your gift. Secondly, he says he didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us love, passion. The reason to step out is because you have a heart for people. And you know what fear asks? What about me? What about me? While love asks, what about them? You know, I've thought about it. It's interesting. I think the number one reason why, seriously, I've never, ever moved on from Gospel Light in 34 years. Because I've thought about this. I don't understand. In my heart, sometimes I wonder why people move on in the senior pastor. I get it. Sometimes they're called to go different places. But for me, honestly, you get offered more money. You get offered more benefits. You get offered more perks. You get offered bigger houses and bigger packages. And it's crazy what people will offer you to take jobs. It's amazing. But I've never been tempted. For some reason, I can't get over the fact that I can't imagine walking away from the people I love, the city I love. I love this place. I love this city. I love Hot Springs. I love all 38,519 people in this city. And I can't imagine, for money, for a house on the lake, for more benefits, for a better 401k. I mean, I get it. That's nice. But what about love? And I just love this place so much. Love asks, what about them? I'm not saying everybody should stay forever. I get that. I'm just speaking for me this morning. That's what's kept me here. I'm driven by love for this city. And then peace, sound judgment. This is clarity to step out with wisdom and control. Fear creates confusion. It makes you overthink everything. It causes hesitation. It keeps you stuck. But God gives you something different. He gives you clarity and control when he gives you peace. He gives you power. He gives you love. And he gives you sound judgment. Power keeps you moving. Passion keeps you focused. And peace keeps you steady. I'd like to ask the worship team to come forward. And I'm going to have the lights stay up for just a minute because I got one more gift for you and I'm done. And I finished on time. Isn't it amazing when you can finish on time? Don't you like that? Ushers, would you give everybody my gift? It's my final gift to you. It's it. We're going to move on. Next week's a same series, but a different direction. A lot of folks have asked me, how do I use my gift in the church? So I put together this little card that says the seven spiritual gifts and when and where you can serve in our church. Now, it's not fully encompassed. There's so many more things. But I think if every single person will get a card, this is not for every other person. This is not one per family. I want everybody to have this card so you can pray over and get an idea. Can I give you an example? I'm just going to give you one example before we sing the final worship song. I've got one more verse I want to share with you and then we're done. But here's an example. Look at giving. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. See giving? So if you look at giving, it says, this person is a resourcer. They supply needs through generosity. So here are, next to it, here are five examples where you can serve in the church if you have the gift of giving. And I could have used anyone. I'm just going to use giving just because. No reason. Notice it says blessing fund. So the blessing fund is something we established 10 years ago. It's just something you can give $5 a week or $10 a week. I think we had a little over $1,000 given last week to the blessing fund. Can I tell you where that money goes? If you have the gift of giving, the blessing fund is reserved to help people in our congregation or people in the community who have a valid need. Now, I wouldn't dare tell you who it is at all. They actually come to the first service. They were here this morning. I didn't say who they were in the first service either, but we had a member in our church recently have to have major surgery, and because they did, they can't work right now. They've been working at the same place for 25 years. But it's not a place that has a lot of benefits. It's just a place that gives an hourly wage, so they lost their income. So one of our church members found out that they lost their job because the surgery is going to require about 8 weeks of recovery, and they just weren't willing to keep them. The church member went over to bring food and said, hey, anything we can do for you? He said, well, I need to move out next week because I can't pay rent. And the church member said, well, how much is rent? And they told him. And so they called me and said, hey, Pastor, I don't know if we could do anything, but we've got a family in our church that needs a little help. And I said, what's the need? They told me. And I went to Jeff Manthe, our executive pastor. And I said, Jeff, how much do we have in the blessing fund? He told me, he said, we've got enough. How much is rent? And I told him, and he said, we can pay it. I got to call that church member back. We got to pay rent for that church member that comes every Sunday, by the way. It was a beautiful, beautiful gift from our church, all because of the blessing fund. So I just want to give some context to how you can serve. You say, well, that's not hard. I didn't have to bring the rent to the person. I didn't have to know about the gift. I just gave to a fund, and that's what you guys do with it? Yeah, that's pretty much all we do with it, is just look for people that have a need, maybe pay an electric bill for somebody that's going through a tough time, maybe give a little help to a widow woman that's run out of Social Security money. I mean, whatever we need to do, you can give to that. And then it goes on to say there's mission support under giving. There's benevolence, helping different needs in the church, hospitality. There's the meal trains, serving in the cafe or the cafeteria, serving at different events and supporting those, special projects and fundraising, different ways you can serve. Now, I'm not going to read all of them. I'll let you do that. But I wanted to give you something that you could see, something tangible that you could pray over. And I want to encourage you sometime this week or next week or the next month or the next 2 months, call an elder, call a deacon, talk to your lighthouse, talk to your spark huddle. Man, I love my spark huddle. We had the best spark huddle yesterday in my office. Got around the circle, went through this and talked about it. And guys, I asked him a question. I said, what's one practical way you can use your gift to meet a need? Oh, man, it was awesome. Every guy gave a beautiful way to use their gift this week. It was awesome. That's what I'm talking about. Find one little small way you can use your gift. Start there. That's all God's looking for, is a little small moment that he can give. If you're faithful in little, he'll be faithful in much. So let me bring this all together with something powerful from Proverbs, and I'll close. You can let the lights go down now. Proverbs 18:16, as we move into our response time. Here's the verse. A person's gift opens doors for him. Look at that. A person's gift opens doors. Wouldn't it be great if God could open a door for you and bring you into a great and mighty thing or situation that you never would have imagined? I'll be honest, when I was cleaning those toilets, I had no idea I'd pastor a church like this. Like, man, Lord, you're good. I don't know how you made room for me in your kingdom, but I sure am glad to be here. God said, well, it's use your gift, and I'll be faithful in little, and I'll move you towards as much as I can possibly do for the God's more about the kingdom than we could ever imagine. Use what you have. God wants you to use your gifts, and he'll open doors for you. You don't have to force your way in. You don't have to strive. You don't have to compare yourself to others. When you use what God gave you, God will make room for you. He's got a plan. He's got a great plan. And so this morning, if you'd like to come and respond by getting your gift and finding out how you can bless the church and how important you are to the church, I put them back up here again. We had a lot go out last week, but if you know what your gift is and you haven't gotten a card yet, come on up and get your card, and just, you can pray at the altar, go back to your seat, whatever you'd like to do. If you'd like to pray at the altar, we're here. Got to pray with several people in the first service. If you're led to pray here, that'd be great. If you just want to come and say, hey, I'm not sure what these spiritual gifts are, but I think I might be interested in the gift of salvation. I've never been saved. I've never been born again. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. This morning, you can receive the most important gift, which is salvation, and then God gives you a spiritual gift the moment you get saved. It's incredible. And so if you'd like to do that, we encourage you to come this morning. I'm really thankful for a church family that listens as well as you do. You've been amazing. Thanks for listening, and I pray that God would do great things, great and mighty thing, open great doors as we use the gifts that we've been given. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for what you're doing and what you've done today in our midst. God, thank you for every part of this service, the worship, the baby dedication, the announcements. Lord, the message, the response, all of it, God, is meant to give honor and glory to you. I pray that we would build your kingdom right here and now in this place this morning, as we move closer to becoming more Christ-like. Lord, help us not to feed our egos this morning, but Lord, help us Lord, to humbly serve others and lift others up with the gifts you've given us. Father, I thank you so much for this congregation that I've had the privilege of being a part of for 34 years. It's the joy of my life. I'll celebrate 34 in 5 weeks. I can't wait. It's just been amazing. Can't imagine serving anywhere else but with these beautiful people here in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So God, may you continue to drive us and motivate us with the gifts you've given us. And we give you all the praise and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. Shall we stand together? You're welcome to come if you'd like.